I'd like to read in the book of the Psalms, chapter 14. Psalm 14 and verse number 1. The 14th Psalm. And it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Or if you want to take the italics out, "The fool hath said in his heart, no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Just back a few pages to the book of Job, chapter 33. Job chapter 33, verse number 27. And it says, "He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light." One final reading of the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 22. It's well known to many here tonight. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. The words of the God of salvation. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." I'd like to leave with you three very simple statements, actually three statements of three words each, three triads, and I trust that they might stick with our understanding and our memory tonight. We have read in Psalm 14 the evaluation that God has given of our lives. It's interesting that when God wants to stress something, mind you, he doesn't have to do this. If God just says something once, it has eternal weight and value. Not like our words. God always speaks the truth. God never hedges. He never beats around the bush. If he says something once, it has eternal value. But it's interesting that when God says something twice, there's, of course, the added emphasis. And if God happens to say something three times, you'd better pay attention. Interestingly, in Psalm 14, he mentions one phrase twice, and it's repeated in the New Testament as well. I have noted that these words are three of the most damaging words concerning any self-defense that you might have. As God looks at our lives, he says so simply, "None doeth good." And as emphasis, he adds, "No, not one." Damaging? Yes. And tonight, I am sure that we are all involved with evaluation, with how we appear, with how we're doing, with how we're looking. But Psalm 14 is God's evaluation, and he leaves three damaging words concerning any self-defense. None doeth good. But there's another triad I want to emphasize tonight, because in Job chapter 33, we find that here's a man, and he's speaking to another individual, and he mentions three of the most difficult words that we find to say. He said, "If any man say, I have sinned." You ever said that? In all honesty? Without any hedging, without any trying to get around the bush, without any trying to shuffle it to somebody else? Why are they so difficult, these three simple words? I have sinned. And yet the statement stands, if any man say, I have sinned, and perverted that which is right, and that profited me not, he will deliver his soul from the pit, and his life shall see light. Three of the most difficult words for us to say. And I'm no different than you are. But I am grateful for the words of Isaiah 45, three of the most delightful words, words of deliverance. Because tonight, the God of salvation that we've been hearing of, the God that drew near to us, the God that stepped into his own creation, the God that has visited us with a wonderful visitation, heaven came down. The Almighty stepped alongside of us. He has spoken to us. And he has left us with three very wonderful words, words of deliverance, words that have brought wondrous delight to many of us. He says so simply, look unto me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And tonight, that triad, that simple invitation, that simple exhortation, that simple command is God's desire for you. There is salvation in no one else. There is salvation in no other place. And yet there is a God of salvation who is drawn alongside of us, and he says, look unto me and be saved. I wonder tonight, has there been such a moment in your experience? Have you ever looked away from self and from everything that you have followed in this life of yours? You have looked in all of your need and understood that he alone is the one who's able to save. Thank God, he's the God of salvation. We start where God starts, because there are three damaging words that God brings before us in absolute truth. The Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek after God. And he gives the answer. He gives the result of that survey. They are all gone astray. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I wonder tonight, have you ever stopped to ask yourself, what is my standing before God? You know, we're all concerned with how we appear. We get up in the morning and look in the mirror. You should do that. We have to rub shoulders with other people. We have to talk to them. We want to be presentable. And so we make an appraisal of ourselves. Comb our hair, brush our teeth, and walk out the door quite satisfied with the way we appear. We rub shoulders with people at work or school or in the neighborhood. And again, there's an evaluation, self-evaluation. How are we relating? How are we accepted? How are we doing? Tell me, how are you doing? Well, what's your standing in life? How are you getting along? But you see, if that's as far as you go, you're falling. They get your car inspected. They always found something that had to be repaired. And so there are various stations that had the license to do the inspections. And of course, if the man wanted to make a fast dollar, if he didn't want to have to spend the time crawling underneath that vehicle and checking the brakes and everything else, he could just take the form and click off everything else, sign the paper, and he'd make a $15 very easily, and they'd be able to go and get their license and just keep on driving. No expense to the owner of the car, and a fast $15 or whatever it was for the owner of that service station. And of course, Frank Loader was a man who liked to make the checks very quickly, and so he had a lot of buddies. One particular day, he went to the license bureau in the city of Corner Brook, he lives just outside of that city, And he went into that license bureau, and I know the woman with whom he was dealing because I live in the area. And she was a very, very tough woman to deal with. Now, there are some women that took the job. I won't say any more. Nothing against the sisters here tonight. But this woman could handle herself. She was as tough as she looked. And she was aware of what Frank was doing. And as he came into that that lineup there, she spotted him. She was behind the counter. He was waiting. And there was quite a large crowd in that license bureau waiting for their number to be called. And so she looked at him and continued to look at him. And he became a bit uncomfortable. And then she finally came to the edge of that counter. And she looked over at Frank and she said to her, she said out loud in front of all those people, she said, "Frank Loader, we know what you're doing. And you are not going to get away with it." How would you feel if you were Frank Loader? There were rising tempers. There were angry words. They went back and forth across that counter until finally Frank Loader left that office in a rage and headed back home. And as he was driving home, he said to himself, Frank, why are you so upset? What she said was absolutely true. But tonight, Frank, you're not dealing with a license bureau chief. You're dealing with a God that swallowed your steps. You're dealing with a God who knows exactly where you've been and what you've done. You're dealing, spoken to you, and you haven't even responded. There's been no room for him in your life. And the Lord has looked down in this world. Let's be more specific. The Lord has looked down to this meeting to see if there were any that could understand. Understand what? If there were any that understood that they had sinned against God. To see if there were any that could understand that they had come short of His standard of glory. To see if there were any that understand I have a tremendous need that can't be met by anything in this world. To see if there were any that not only understood but then inquired after God. Perhaps that's why you've come to this meeting. I trust it is so. You have evaluated yourself under the all-seeing eye of God. And maybe for the first time on a Sunday night, you have been willing to admit, I've come short. I have no defense. Damaging? Yes. It's hard for us to acknowledge what we are. Yet God so plainly, so emphatically, He says, none doeth God's. No, not one. While I don't know your name and I don't know your past, you may be the star performer in your neighborhood. You may be the greatest mother, the greatest father, or the greatest employee. You may be the kindest person. But friend, when you come up against God's standard, He says you've come short. You've gone your own way. And He makes this all-encompassing statement, none doeth good. Not one of us. He brings us all to the same level where every defense that we might have to try and make ourselves look good under the all-seeing eye of God falls to the ground. What we need to learn, all of us, yes, Christians included, what we need to understand is what the Old Testament woman understood. Thou, God, seest me.
all about us. And my friend, we stand exposed before Him. We can't vindicate ourselves. And God makes our condition so clear and so pressing and so plain. I wonder, have you ever acknowledged your condition? That's one of the things of one of the realities of a gospel series that has to come home. How we stand in God's sight. We can try and tell ourselves we're doing great. We can look at some other people and say, well, now we are better than they are. And maybe you're right. But oh, in God's sight, none doeth good. Not one of us. But there are difficult words that we find to say. One of the most difficult phrases I find is exactly what we've read in Job 33. I have sinned. You know, it's so easy to try and find somebody else to blame. In fact, I might as well admit it. There have been times that I've had to go to my wife and say, Barbara, sit down. I was wrong. I didn't say the right thing. I didn't treat you the way I should have. I have to say that to my boys. Hard? Yes. Difficult? Yes. You know, all of us, many times we try and pass the blame to somebody else. And yet God says in His Word that if any man say, I have sinned, there is mercy. There is grace. Can you imagine what would happen if, and I'm not going to go into a political statement tonight, but can you imagine what would happen if the President of the United States at the outset of this investigation had just said, I'm going to come clean. I sinned. It has saved millions of dollars. It would have saved thousands of man hours of trauma and difficulty and heartache. It would be difficult. Yes, it would have been difficult. But he would have ultimately faced the truth. And tonight, friend, here you are, not before a presidential inquiry, but you're dealing with God. And what He's looking for is the honesty of your heart to acknowledge your need. I have perverted that which is right, and it troubled me not. And as you evaluate your life, be honest. And as you stand under the all-seeing eye of God, tell me, is your way gone the way that you had hoped it would have gone? Furthermore, has it gone the way that God desired it? For you have to admit, I have perverted that which is right. I have gone astray. And it hasn't resulted in the way that I wanted it to go. It profited me not. I had to come to that point in my life. I had plans. I had pursuits. Yet when I finally faced it, I said, the road I'm on is the wrong road. The destiny I'm heading for is the wrong destiny. And though I wasn't into the gutter, just a university student, but I understood that regardless of what I might attain to, in the end I would lose my own soul. And there came a day when I had to say and admit before God, oh God, I have sinned, perverted that which is right, that probably not. I think of Luke 15, there was a man who came to that place where he said, I have sinned. Man had left for the bright lights of the city, of the far country. Man thought, that's where it's at. No more of this Bible talk around the hole for me. And he went his way. Not uncommon for young people to go that way. They do it in Newfoundland, they do it in Vancouver. Some of them head this way, some of them head the other way. But there's a man who finally came to the end of that course, spent all. Maybe some of you have spent all. Maybe you've come to the end of the road, nothing in your pocket, nothing in your soul. a longing to know something more. And as he sits beside that pigsty, he comes to himself and he says, I have sinned and I'm going to return. The man gets up. Yes, in the filth of his clothing, in the stench of his condition, but he's going home with a simple admission in his heart. I'm going to say to my Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. You know the story. He heads home. On the other end of that line, there's a father watching and looking and waiting and ultimately running. When he saw the son, he had compassion on him. You know what that means? No, he didn't turn away. He didn't say, just what I thought. He's coming back. Well, we'll just see what happens now. There was a father whose heart was stirred for that individual, for that son of his. He ran. And you know tonight that there is a God in heaven. And he longs to embrace you. Yes, with all the filthiness of your sin. But when a man comes home, or when a woman comes home, or when a teenager comes home and says, Father, I sinned. You face reality. You draw a circle around yourself and you say, it's nobody else, it's me. I've done wrong. I'm going to come to the wrong results. I need mercy. I need salvation. Father, I have sinned. What does it lead to? Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Shoes on his feet. And by the way, go kill the fatted calf. Make the feast. My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. There's mercy when an individual comes and says from his heart these three most difficult words, I have sinned. Right, that's what this gospel reading is all about. That's what this message from heaven is all about. That men and women might face their sin. And in doing so, might acknowledge their needs. And when that happens, friend, there is salvation and there's the best hope. And the shoes in your feet, there's a new standing. There's a ring on the finger, there's a new relationship. There's a fatted calf, there's a brand new diet. There are new pleasures, pleasures forevermore. I haven't been saved as long as my brother. But I can tell you that after 28 years, next month, 6th of March, 28 years ago, at the home, they've been the 28 best years of my life. I wouldn't trade them for the 22 years before that. I'm thankful that God brought me to the place where I said, Father, I sinned. Difficult? Yes. In fact, let me say that repentance is one of the most difficult things that you will ever do in your life. But absolutely vital. What does it lead to? It leads to the God of salvation where he says, look unto me. Be saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. The Old Testament is all filled with sight, isn't it? They could see what God was doing. There was something visible. So he says, look unto me. In the New Testament, it's by faith. And so he says, come unto me. Pretty friend, they're the same thing. God is inviting you to look to him. The Savior is asking you to respond to him. What individuals came to understand back then and right now. I'm looking at people, and we came to the discovery that we had a need. But friend, far more than just understanding our need, we understood personally that there was one who was able to meet our needs. Wonder of wonders, he was inviting us to come to him. Can you think of any individual in this world tonight that is inviting you to come to them to meet your ultimate needs? I mean, there's all kinds of bank facilities that are asking you to come for your RSP needs for this month. We'll fix you. We'll take care of you. And there are all kinds of other voices inviting you to come, but there's always a price tag attached.
But there's not an individual that can say the words of the Lord Jesus and deliver on them. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give you everlasting life. I will give you the joy of knowing that all is well for eternity. And tonight you say, look unto me. As I close, I just want to mention this. What kind of a look is it? It's just a simple look of dependence. My boys, I got three of them. They have needs that they can't meet themselves. What do? They look away to somebody who's able to meet that need. They look to mom, they look to dad. And if we can do it, we meet those needs. When a man or woman or a young person comes in the need of their sin, there is one that they can depend on. Look unto me and be ye saved. Why can we look to him? He is the mighty one to save. We can trust him. He never goes back on his words. He is able. He is ready. He is willing. To save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. A look of dependence. A look of acceptance. And tonight, he is offering you everlasting life. Would you receive him? Would you receive the gift? A look of thanksgiving. A look of faith. And as that dying thief came to the end of his days, he could look at the Lord Jesus, and he says, Lord, remember me. I trust tonight that you might lead with these three words, three wonderful words. Look unto me, the God of salvation says, and be saved. All the ends of the earth, no exceptions. I am God, and there is none else. So we pray. Father, we're thankful tonight for thy word, for the mighty visitation from heaven. The Father sent the Son not to condemn, but to be the Savior of the world. We're thankful, Lord, that he came knowing that he would be despised and rejected. There was no room for him in this world. Tragically, Lord, the same is still true in 1999. But unto as many as receive him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. We pray, Lord, thy blessing upon thy word and upon all who have come. May there be those that would face the need of their soul, the reality of their sin. We pray, Lord, that they might look away to the only Savior of sinners, our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank thee that this is still a day of grace. And so, Father, we commend the word to thee. Follow it home by the Spirit of God. Bless the gospel that has been preached in the city tonight. And may we rejoice together over what thou art doing. We ask of thee as we give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.